been more than a year since the earthquake in Haiti, and the conditions in that country are widely reported on. Hundreds of thousands living in tents, rampant cholera, a devastated infrastructure, political chaos. Countries like Canada clearly see the situation as dire. They've loosened up their permit system to allow more Haitians to live and work in Canada. So what does the rest of the Department of Homeland Security know that the rest of us don't? Why is the government suddenly deporting dozens of Haitians back to Haiti? Or is it as sudden as it seems? Marina Giovinelli, a reporter from our affiliate station WLRN and the Miami Herald, joins us. Good morning, Marina.
Good morning, Celeste.
Also with us is Marlene Bastien, the founder and executive director of Haitian Women of Miami. Good morning to you, Marlene.
Good morning, Celeste.
Marina, first, it seems to me, having read some reports on this, that there's a lot more that we don't know than what we do. Do we know exactly who these 27 Haitians are that are headed back to Haiti, and how many more deportations are coming?
Well, the Department of Homeland Security has not released specific names. We do have confirmation from the lawyers and attorneys representing several of these deportees. What we do know is that early yesterday morning, the Department of Homeland Security put 27 Haitians on a plane and sent them back to Haiti. The plane left from a detention center in Louisiana. Once they arrive at Haiti, it's the country's longstanding policy to detain or imprison these deportees, and immigration advocates have expressed concern over the welfare of these Haitians because at least 48 people that we know of have died from cholera in Haitian prisons.
So before we get Marlene's view of this, Marina, one more question. Do you think the Homeland Security Department is deliberately sort of confusing the issue of humanitarian refugee status for explicit earthquake victims and the questions of, you know, deportations on security grounds here?
Yeah, I mean, immigration policy is very complex. So you're touching on a couple of issues. So these Haitians who have been deported essentially were under a final order of removal. So we don't know, because again, DHS will not say who they are. We don't know if they were victims of the quake. We don't know exactly when they arrived. But the two people that I do know that were deported, neither of them were victims of the quake. They've been in the U.S. for a long time. And as far as kind of the humanitarian aspect, there is this thing called temporary protective status, or TPS, and essentially that's the special designation. It was available for Haitians who were in the U.S. before the quake, and it gave them temporary permission to work and live in the U.S. legally. Now, the deadline to apply for TPS expired on January 18th, so this week. And far fewer Haitians than the Department of Homeland Security expected actually ended up applying for temporary protective status because they are just generally fearful of governments. And the kind of announcement that they were going to resume deportations certainly didn't help the situation.
Well, Marlene, let's examine that just a little bit more closely, this fear of the U.S. government on the part of Haitians who are living here, whether they be earthquake victims or not. What is behind, what are Haitians here afraid of? Are they simply afraid of being deported back to Haiti?
Well, yes, they are, and that is why we believe that many of them have not come forward to benefit and apply for temporary protected status despite a widespread campaign for them to do so. At this time, when Haiti is reeling under the worst crisis in the past 200 years, where we still have close to 2 million living under tents, we also have the imported cholera epidemic, as you know, that killed 2,000, and also violent civil unrest as a result of the elections. The elections were held November 28th, and the results are still not out yet, and there's still confusion as to what's going to happen. And also the recent arrival of baby Doug Duvalier to Haiti, all those really are compounding the dangerous situation in the nation, the island nation.
But
and
Marlene,
that is why
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but let me just be hypothetical here, since there's so little details that we have. Let's presume for a moment that the people who are being deported back to Haiti were in the United States for a very long time. They already had deportation orders against them. Their deportations were simply put on hold. These aren't earthquake survivors or refugees from the earthquake, presumably. So does that make a change into the decision of the Department of Homeland Security to send them back?
Well, the what the Department of Homeland Security has told us, that these are people with criminal backgrounds and conviction. However, I have a partial list here, and we've always maintained that many of these people have never served any time in detention. One of them was brought to justice on charges that were dropped against him, Lenglenson Lemorin. You probably have heard of him, and he was among the first 27 deported yesterday.
Well, Marina, let me ask you. I mean, is there any at this point? Have these people exhausted their appeals, and that's why they're being deported? Have they already been through a legal system to address the concerns that Marlene just mentioned?
Yes and no. They have. I know of one person at least who, and I've heard of a number of others who have attorneys who have essentially requested a stay. So that's a suspension, a temporary suspension of ICE carrying out the final order of removal. As far as have they exhausted it, I know that they've done everything that they can. I know that one of the challenges is the fact that, for instance, 100 Haitians were moved from South Florida to Louisiana, that's far away from their families, from people they know, and from their attorneys. And then the detention centers in Louisiana are like 4 hours away from some towns and cities. So just physically, it's like a remote situation that kind of compounds the legal resources that these detainees have.
That's Maria Giovanelli, a reporter with our affiliate station WLRN and the Miami Herald. Marlene Bastien, last question for you. To what extent is the fear that we're hearing coming out of the Haitian community that these deportations are the beginning of a landslide? In other words, that the U.S. will again start sending actually refugees back to Haiti in the months to come?
Well, they have been sending refugees back. The very few who tried to trickle in have been deported back. That's why we are saying that U.S. migration policies today should reflect the dire and grave situation in Haiti today and not make it worse. And then we're calling on the administration to stop these deportations now, especially since they've been saying that they want.
We'll have to leave it there. That's Marlene Bastien, founder and executive director of Haitian Women of Miami. Thank you to both of you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.